And joining us today, we have our Kalispell City Manager, Doug Russell. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you with us today. And boy, you've got a pile of stuff to talk about. You guys have been really busy.
A few items that have been occupying our time this past few months, no doubt about it.
A lot of folks have been really interested to learn about the plans for the marijuana, because it is legal going into our state coming right after the holidays.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of unique in terms of how, you know, the legislation passed, obviously, through an initiative process and then goes to the state for administrative rules. And then the local aspect of it is land use and, you know, where it's allowed to be sold, cultivated, manufactured, etc. So that's kind of been what's been on the council's agenda since early this summer. Had a couple work sessions to talk about it, to try and define, identify areas where that would be located throughout the town, working on, you know, the state's guidance that they have in their administrative rules about certain distance from churches and schools. So went through some work sessions back early in the year and kind of had a little bit of a framework. That went through the planning board, as all of our zoning ordinances do, came back before council at our last regular meeting, and council deliberated on it and went forward and passed an ordinance to have it restricted to the industrial areas within town, which we have about five pockets or so of industrial areas throughout the town. So that passed at the last regular meeting, and I'll be back on the agenda Monday night for the next one.
Couple of quick questions.
Yes.
All right. Define the difference between cultivation and manufacturing.
So cultivation would actually be the growing, harvesting, and manufacturing would be essentially after, once you harvest, then it goes into probably the manufacturing stage of it to prepare it for retail sale.
Okay. All right.
I don't know much more details about the manufacturing of marijuana but yeah, essentially once you have harvest, then it goes into the manufacturing.
I guess that would be preparation for sale and
sure,
that sort of thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The next question I have is where are some of our industrial areas?
You know, they're kind of scattered throughout town. You know, we have one up on Meridian, a little pocket. Old School Station is probably the biggest area. We have some, the Glacier Rail Park is an industrial area, and then there's another stretch down by the airport. So a few areas, you know, deliberation at the council level was kind of trying to restrict it from those areas instead of just, you know, somewhat of the wide open. And it's similar to, I saw Billings did a very similar thing with their proposed ordinance. Mm-hmm. So it's one that, you know, all the municipalities are going through trying to get a ordinance passed and to the state. So when the state starts issuing licenses January 1, they can kind of compare it to the local ordinance and put it in place. So, So we'll see. We'll see how it goes Monday night. And obviously there'll be, you know, further consideration as they go into the second reading of the ordinance. But, just one of those things trying to identify for how it establishes it into the future.
I understand that, I guess the question I have is, what about the Parkline Trail? That probably is what made the council members look at that and say, well, how do we do that with, how do we include businesses when we want to keep it 300 feet away from a park?
Yeah, proposed ordinance had a 300 buffer around all of our city parks. And there's different opinions on the council on that. Mm-hmm. You know, some obviously want to restrict it further than that, which is what the ultimate vote was. Some want to have it wide open. So got into that deliberation at the last meeting in terms of that. But initially we had that 300 foot buffer around all municipal parks for that type of business operation. And, you know, you still had stretches, obviously 300 feet away, which is about a city block. So that was part of the consideration in terms of drafting up the original proposed ordinance.
Yeah, but I would think that once you start restricting businesses like that, particularly when you have a Parkline Trail like we do a long trail, then you get businesses feel like they're being discriminated against.
Well, you have that in all areas within zoning in terms of what the allowable land use and zoning designation is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things that municipalities have the authority over is to regulate land use and business component within it. Like I said, and that was part of the discussion. I said some want it wide open, some want it different, to be restricted. you know, some compared it to alcohol in terms of it should be regulated like alcohol. But as you see at the state level, alcohol is very highly regulated in terms of even the number of licenses and the number of businesses within a community. So, you know, the regulation of business and land use has been a longstanding process in terms of, you know, a municipal entity's zoning program and land use layout.
One thing where we are going to have alcohol served, you know, along the Parkline Trail. So that's one thing I would imagine was a little bit of it. But the thing is, you can't get a contact high from a beer.
Well, and, you know, consumption is, you know, you can't go into a dispensary and consume.
Right.
So, you know, as a bar, you can go in and consume. So there are differences in terms of that overall aspect. And as with anything new, you know, I always heard say, you know, put it in place, see how it works. And you can always evolve it and change as, you know, conditions change, as the actual outcomes alter and change. So, you know, that's, they're looking at that initial ordinance to put it in play and see how it ends up.
Well, there are state laws and state regulations also that are notwithstanding.
Correct. And they're still in the process of finalizing the state administrative rules. So, you know, what that end outcome is going to be come January 1, you know, other people are still waiting to find out what that's going to mean. And, you know, I think the initial licensing is going to go out to those that have an existing medical dispensary license. I think those are the first ones that will end up being able to apply for this. So it'll actually probably be a slow transition into the retail market. Although, I mean, January 1, they'll have the ability, but in terms of new operations, I think that'll be suspended a little bit as they go through their state administrative process. Okay.
I want to dig into housing because that's always a big topic. And, and we got a hotel to talk about, too.
Yes.
I want to do that right after this. Our guest is Kalispell City City Manager Doug Russell. And all right, we've got a housing shortage in this town, and you are doing everything you can to speed that process along and see if we can get some more homes built and get some particularly multifamily units built.
Yeah, you know, several of the things that I think are advantageous within the Kalispell process is we run a lot of things concurrently in terms of a timing process where, you know, we'll run preliminary plats along with annexation or planned unit developments, where in some other jurisdictions they separate those out, so they have to go through an annexation process, then a planned unit development approval process, and then a plat approval process. So you may stretch that out an additional 6 months to us. What we like to do is kind of run them concurrently, recognizing that, hey, you know, if the annexation fails, so does everything else or anything in that matter. So that really expedites the process of being able to allow developers to respond to the market conditions and really take advantage of an opportunity where you have somewhat of a high a high demand and a lower supply. And council also looked at impact fees, you know, about a year ago in terms of trying to identify where the pinch point would be in some of the housing market. And really it came into the multifamily units to who would benefit the most if there was an adjustment within impact fees. So council voted to reduce the proposed impact fees by about 50%. And since that time, we've seen a significant growth in the amount of, you know, multifamily units. And I always say, you know, you can't, especially in an environment such as this, to hard pin it to one variable in terms of, you know, why all of a sudden you had that growth, because obviously we had supply issues and demand issues. But you can definitely see a higher growth in our multifamily units than our single family. Last year, we had, I think, 180 multifamily units, you know, for the year. This year, we're up above, I think we're close to 350 right now. So last year was a high, and we've already, you know, almost doubled that for this year. So a lot of apartment buildings coming online, a lot of apartment units being able to be opened up, which is a great place for that entry level, you know, living accommodation for people to start their process. And we're also about, we're on the same pace with single family homes in terms of building permits that have been pulled. But the exciting thing is just the number of preliminary plats that have come through. You know, we are coming to a shortage of available lots to build on that have been annexed into the city and platted. I think we're well over that concern right now with just the number of developments that have come in and been put in place to allow building to occur and allow developers to move forward. So I think we're set up pretty good. Of course, it always takes some time for the market to adjust and be able to put that supply online. But, you know, I always tell people we're 10 years from removed from buying houses out of foreclosure. You know, that's how quickly that cycle went into there. So now we're at pretty much the extreme case of that where, you know, there's just not housing stock to purchase. But that is obviously softening a little bit. You know, I think the more units that we can get on the market, obviously the more pressure that we'll have on the price for our consumers.
Well, we're getting pretty close to having a regular freeway overpass on the Foy's Lake and on the bypass there.
Yeah.
And it looks like we might have a huge housing development going on right there at that annex.
There's definitely, you have a couple of housing developments just to the south of there in terms of one that it was started, you know, multiple years ago before I even arrived into Kalispell. That's been restarted with a development proposed there. Then we have another development to the south of where Rankin Elementary School is that just came through. That's an exciting project. Another housing development that just came through at the last meeting that's up north. So, yeah, all along that West Side Interceptor, you know, which we've talked about frequently on this show in terms of how big of a project it is and how important it is. Now we're seeing a lot of the benefits of that project with developments being able to actually build there now by being able to have services.
You know, there are former council members out there that actually got voted out of office because we built that nice big wastewater treatment plant down there by the airport. And I would imagine they're laughing pretty hard right now.
Well, you can see the value of it. And it's one of the things that we look at to make sure, you know, that we have that capacity still available, because obviously with every development that comes in, that gets tighter. And the regulatory component of it related to, you know, the EPA and DEQ's regulation on it and the amount of phosphorus and nitrate that gets produced is becoming very highly regulated. So it's nice to have that capacity and be able to work within it without a doubt.
But that was very unpopular at the time, and the council pushed ahead and did it, and a lot of people were angry about it.
Yeah, that's what, you know, one of the... I shouldn't say benefits of you know, public service is that you have to be forward-looking in some of those cases and in some of the things you do build. You want to look at that 20-year mark and look out into the future and build for that capacity. You know, like I said, we built the West Side Treatment, or excuse me, the West Side Interceptor, you know, planning for growth to come. And if there had been instances where, you know, the economy would have fell off, you know, we could be looking at that same story, that same discussion of, well, you know, built this $15 million transmission line with, you know, very few users. Well, we're obviously seeing that the users are coming on, and it was a very good investment and much needed. Otherwise, we'd be in a very different situation as we start talking about housing, because there'd be a lot less coming online.
I think about the folks up in Whitefish who had really struggled to get theirs done, and down in Polson. Right now, they're really struggling down there with their wastewater treatment.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, again, you see it, you know, cycle through municipalities, and as they reach the lifespan of their current treatment facility, you know, how do you build that next one? And, you know, it seems like prices double, you know, every 5 to 10 years on it. And, you know, you always point back to, well, you know, the city built theirs for $5 million. Why can't we do ours for less than 15? You know, the cost of engineering, the cost of design, supplies, we're seeing all that in terms of the price.
Aren't we glad we sunk that well, that new well here a couple of years ago?
You know, pleased with all infrastructure that we've gotten in place because, you know, just the costs that have increased over the past 2 years have been tremendous. You know, we kind of wrangled our hands a little bit when we approved the Parkline bid just a year ago. And very thankful we did approve that, because, you know, the costs that it would take now if we sent it out to bid, we think would be even higher. So you're seeing some of those costs just increase. And I say the more you can stay up to date with your infrastructure at today's costs, whatever they may be, versus looking out into the future is definitely a benefit.
While we're going, Parkland Trail, I'm just throwing a few things at you here. It looks like we've got most of the cross streets done with the tracks now, with the one exception of Main Street. How are we going to handle that?
Well, so they're working on it at night right now. They've got a plan that should be buttoned up and completed by the end of the month. You know, the developer, obviously it's under their means and methods for their construction of it, but I think they've realized that nighttime construction for that section might be the best type of construction. So, you know, I drove home from the council meeting on Monday night, and they're out there working on it at that time and have been maintaining crews overnight. So they'll have pretty much kind of a similar process, I believe, that they did with some of the side streets as they, you know, removed the tracks and, you know, removes the asphalt and did the concrete work. So there, I know the initial plan is to have it done by the end of the month. So it'll be kind of exciting.
It sure will be. I'll tell you, I, of course, I get up at 4 a.m, so I'm sound asleep when they're doing all that work, so I miss it all. Doug Russell is our guest. He's our Kalispell City Manager. Are we going to have a new hotel in downtown Kalispell? I'll pose that question to Doug after this. Our guest is Kalispell City Manager Doug Russell, and so the big question is, are we going to have a new hotel in downtown Kalispell?
Well, we're working with the developer right now on that potential development agreement, and to give a little of the history, that, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of it, but kind of go back and retrace it. You know, part of their downtown plan, when we went through that process with the community about 2 or 3 years ago, was to identify, you know, various sectors and various components within the downtown that could be improved upon. One of the concerns was parking overall. And another concern was, as part of that, was how we managed our parking and, you know, the amount of surface lots in downtown dedicated to parking and that not being the highest and best use when you have, you know, limited land in a, you know, concentrated area, which is what they had. So part of that downtown plan was to actually look at, you know, consolidating surface parking into a parking structure. You know, that's been talked about for years. Another part of the plan was looking at improving some of the surface lots to actual, you know, buildable lots and development that would be more of a benefit to the downtown community, take public land off the, or put, take public land, which is, and put it back on tax rolls, and put it towards a more higher and better use. So as part of that, and even identified within the downtown plan, we went out for a request for proposals for anyone that may be interested in partnering with the city on a development there. Did get one proposal back, which was for almost a $50 million hotel. They would then transfer parking over into one of our other surface lots with a parking structure. So we've been meeting with the developer related to that and how it would work, and things seem to be coming together just exactly according to that plan, where, you know, the building at 3rd and Main would essentially just be all private in terms of corresponding to the RFQ, and our partnership would be the land on it. And then they would build everything just as a private development would. So, you know, looking at that public-private partnership for there, parking would be transferred to a parking structure where you'd be looking at the increment from the hotel only that would go to pay for it. So, you know, kind of two different components to one project, both projects dependent upon each other, because without the hotel, you're not going to get the parking structure. Obviously, without parking, you don't want to build a hotel. So, you know, working through some of those details on that, I know there's an excitement by the developer to move forward as quickly as possible. So trying to work with that to identify how all that would work and who'd be responsible for what. That way we can take that plan through our urban renewal agency, which, we, you know, all of our projects that involve tax increment financing go through, and then back before council and have that public discussion in that arena to see, hey, if this development agreement gets approved, and then they can move forward with it. So exciting components to be discussing as it relates to our downtown and development in the area. So very optimistic, and we'll just continue working with that process and see if we can get something moving forward here in the pretty near future.
I think it's a pretty fascinating idea, and it would still stay within the height limits of downtown?
Yeah, they would have Yeah, I don't think that what they're looking for would require a conditional use permit. But one of the things that we've looked at is density within the areas, again, because we're looking at that land issue. So like in the B3 zone, we improve density requirements. I know anything that they would have would obviously meet either through regular, and I think what they propose wouldn't even need a conditional use permit for the height related component. But really trying to just look out again, out into the future of what development is going to make sense, and trying to set things up that meet that. And, you know, that's what we've seen along the core area, different part of the downtown, is being able to allow some of that flexibility, allowing for some very unique and creative developments by people coming into that area and looking to develop respective projects.
I wonder what people who are already in that neighborhoods in that area think about it.
Well, I think you're going to get a mixture with any development that comes through. That's just one of those components.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we really try and go back to our overall planning documents, where we had overwhelming support for the downtown plan, and all these aspects were in that downtown plan. So that's what the guiding feature was, to go out and go through it and go through that process. And now that we're there, you know, that's just going to be part of the discussion component. And that's why we have the public process for any approval that goes through our standard look of giving the public the opportunity to comment.
Okay, there you go. So I guess we're just going to have to watch everything and see if it all develops as everybody thinks it might.
Yep. Like I say, we're in that process right now of creating a draft agreement of how that would look and who's responsible. And then I'll just go through that, those public boards and ultimately the city council for final approval.
Okay. Doug, it's always a great conversation. Pretty exciting what's happening on the trail. I guess I just want to... Do we have any insight at all as to what's going to happen now that the trail's built? I mean, it's essentially built.
Yeah, and it's not under substantial completion, and it'll actually stay under the contractor's purview, you know, over winter and into next year as they finish the landscaping. But we're already seeing a lot of private investment, you know, coming through. Obviously, we had development came forward, you know, a few meetings ago for a conditional use permit on the silos project. We're seeing, you know, development along the eastern section with the property that's been acquired, and anticipate proposals coming forward. Yeah. So what we're seeing is exactly what we had hoped for in terms of after the public investment in the infrastructure and the trail and removing the tracks. Now we're seeing the private development come through. We've got an apartment building at the far end on Meridian that's being built currently, and they're looking to even expand that. So I think it's doing just kind of what we had set out to do and looked at that vision.
One more quick thing.
Absolutely.
Police and fire.
Yes.
We're growing so darn fast. We've added some more firefighters and some more police officers. What's your take on how many more we're going to need in order to keep up with the growth here?
Well, you know, you look at call loads and call volumes. You know, we did a study in 2018 on fire, and they identified our volumes for there in terms of number of recommended officers. And they put out, you know, they had identified a couple things within that plan that we've tried to meet. And one is the allocation of resources and, you know, our call volumes and our time of day when we get those calls. So we've reached the optimal staffing within fire, according to that plan that they had put out there, for 50% of the time. Well, and that 50% of the time is the high call volume periods. So once we get everyone hired and up, we'll have met that optimal staffing that they had within there. So then you just look at it into the future. You know, are we averaging one more call a day right now in our fire and EMS? You know, that's probably not going to drive for, you know, a new station or, you know. And then you look at when they come in during those times of day. You take that same process into police and where you're looking at it. And we hired an additional couple of officers this last time around as well for police. So just trying to keep that maintenance and where we're at, and just keep track of the call volumes and call loads. Eventually we'll get to that point of time where we're looking at, you know, we're going to have to expand with the new station out into the future at some point. We already have, lots designated for that.
This is for police or fire?
For fire. Yep, we already have two lots. One's been designated as part of the PUD process at Silver Brook. Another lot out by Mountain View Estates out on 3 Mile and Farm to Market Road. So we've already planned for where those are going to be, and you start looking at that, and then you start having the discussion with the community in terms of building that next station and being able to staff it.
Wow. We're still having some staffing issues up at the station up by Costco.
Well, you're going to have those as long as we're in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality. You know, when we're facing a lot of sick leave and calls, those are going to occur. So those have definitely compounded over the past 2 years. Okay. You combine those with any type of short-term injury or things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, we're at 32 full-time staffing, and we didn't have these issues 2, 3, 4 years ago. So if we have more staffing, what are those other variables that are there? And so if you have trains and workforce in terms of overtime and differences within call volumes, and boy, you know, we've had shortages through all of our departments as it relates to COVID exposures and being out. So, you know, we're just working through it and maintaining it. Definitely appreciate the people that are out there working it, because, you know, feel a little bit more stress volume as you may be shorthanded. But we've had, great response by our departments. I mean, our parks department has made it through 2 successive years with being extremely short-staffed in terms of being able to provide services in parks and recreation and our day programs. Police departments face the same thing in terms of being short-staffed at times and trying to get people in for, call coverages. So luckily, I think, with enough vaccinations or people that have experienced COVID, I think those are starting to come down. But, we'll still see some as it gets forward, and we just have to be patient and work through them.
All right. Doug, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate the great conversation.
Yes, thank you.
All right.